Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, welcome to Women Lead Radio. I'm Deborah Simpson, and today my guest is Catherine Lorenz. To overcome her innate shyness at age 15, Catherine enrolled in competitive speech classes at her high school, winning awards of distinction and continued competing into her college years. To date, she has presented talks or workshops on 6 out of 7 continents. From Singapore to South Africa to San Diego, Catherine has worked with motivated professionals, enhancing communication and igniting confidence. Today, Catherine works with ambitious contemporary female leaders to quantum leap their success and enhance their competence in the areas of communication, professional development, and leadership. Her distinctive background and travel to 67 countries has provided her with a unique foundation to present specialized, targeted training and workshops with her executive training programs in poised, polished, powerful presentations, tips, taboos, and troubleshooting in international business, mastering magnificence, your executive presence, and her special event speaker showcase. Her elegant persona and diplomatic approach, served up with a charming British lilt and sharp wit, has been warmingly embraced by companies in healthcare, entrepreneurship, hospitality, and tourism. Catherine, welcome to the show. It's great to have you as a guest today.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. You know, I know that you've worked with a lot of speakers and professional women who want to hone their presentation skills. And I'm interested in the assets that speakers need in order to be chosen for a specific event. So what are some of the basic assets that every speaker should have in their arsenal when they're applying to be a speaker for an event?
They absolutely need to have a speaker one sheet, and that's a summary of the talking points or the titles of their talks. It can also mention the clients that they've worked for previously, as well as how they can solve or address the pain points of their clients. There's usually a photograph. It's usually an action photograph. There should be a short bio, so definitely use the real estate that both sides of a piece of paper provide. And there are really good templates online, and I know you've provided them through Speakers Guild USA as well. But that's absolutely crucial for people to get a quick overview of what topics are and if you're possibly a fit for their conference or their meeting.
So do you suggest that they put all of their topics on a single one sheet, or do they need an individual one sheet for each of their topics?
There may be different viewpoints on that, but my opinion is that you should put your topics on one sheet, unless they're so diverse and it's a totally different target audience, then I would break it away and do, let's say you're speaking to engineers or something, and normally you would speak to HR people. If you have something specific to engineers that would use their jargon, their language, perhaps their conferences where you've spoken before, then I could see that spinning off and doing a separate one. That's a really good question. I actually hadn't thought of that before. But then sometimes speakers have a one sheet with 12 topics, and I think that's really top heavy. It's better to hone in on, I would say, 3 to 5 topics, because it muddies the waters. People might not know where to place you. So that's my humble opinion.
No, I agree with that completely. I think you're spot on with that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then what about One of the things I did with, I run the Speaker Subhub out of HeraHub, and we've been talking about presentations and slide decks. And one of the things that I told them, because they don't, you know, they're beginning speakers, so they're just starting to put their slide decks together. And they were so impressed when I said, you know, you can just go to Pinterest and get slide decks. So you want to talk a little bit about our slide deck or our PowerPoint presentation for those who may not be in the speaking industry and know all of our speaking lingo. But what are your suggestions when you're working with speakers about their slide deck, how they should put it together and what it should contain?
Well, you know, I have some very strong opinions about this because we've talked about this before. And I believe that whether you use Keynote or PowerPoint or Google Slides, that all of your slides should be branded. I like the lower corners, so the lower right or the lower left, or but really wherever you want to brand your little logo. It doesn't have to be big. It shouldn't be big, but there should be a sense of your brand on every slide. And the slide should just contain one point, one thought. You know, I worked for one company, and the people I presented to were very analytical, and they were horrified when I presented one thought per slide. They wanted data, how many people west of the Mississippi had used this particular resource, and so on and so forth. And that was so against everything I had learned in my speaking classes, in National Speakers Association, etc. So each slide should have one. If you want to stretch it to two thoughts, okay, but really one thought. And then your speaker's notes have all those other points that you want to mention. And it's not a problem if you bring up a point that's not on your slide. It's a great opportunity to tell a side story that supports that point. And if you're doing a webinar, I know Amy Porterfield, who's a guru, an expert, she's made millions of dollars with her webinars. She suggests, if you're not using a visual, a video of yourself and you're just using slides, to have 80 slides per hour. But normally if you're doing a presentation in front of people, you can use much, much less than that. 30, 40, 50 slides for an hour is more than enough, and you may be able to get away with even less than that. The slides are just cues for you. Sorry?
Yeah, so she is saying, if you're doing a webinar, 80 slides?
80 per hour, because the people don't have the distraction of looking at you, Deb. They're looking only at the slides, so she wants them moving quickly and to have enough visual engagement opportunities. So that's what she believes, and that's what she promotes.
Okay. Oh, okay, cool. I'd never heard. I don't even know if I have the strength to put 80 slides together, but I'll try.
I understand.
Webinar.
I understand completely.
And you know, one of my favorites, of course, and we've all seen it in some of the presentations that we've been treated to, whether you're at a networking group, is the speaker that steps in between the projector and the screen and has the slide on
the words
their
on
face.
Their face. I love that.
We consider that a do not do strategy.
There should be a way to set up your AV where that doesn't happen, because then you really do look like a deer in the headlights, because you are a person in the headlights of the bulb. And the other thing that you and I speak about often, Deborah, is not to turn your back and look at the screen when you're presenting with a PowerPoint. All the slide information is directly in front of you on your laptop, and there's absolutely no reason, and it's a big rookie mistake to turn around and look at the screen, because it should be exactly what's showing on your laptop anyway.
And do you ever offer advice? For instance, I've been, of course, everybody knows that I'm a geek and I can do the technology. So I've been at a SCORE event where they couldn't get the laptops to sync with the projector, and so everybody, I had to go over there and fix it for them. What do you advise speakers to be prepared for when they get to the venue? They've got their laptop, they've got their presentation on the laptop. They're ready to set it up. You know, do you have any tips from your experience? I certainly have some from my experience that will help facilitate getting that laptop hooked up to that projector more quickly.
Well, you're the more techie person on that. I usually do make sure there's someone there to help me hook it up, unless it's super easy. And if there's a Jumbotron behind you, they usually have to do something with the projectors, and it depends on the different equipment. But adamant about when I'm training speakers in their presentation skills is to make sure that they have more than one mode to present their presentation. And by that, I mean, I know that you know the story because I speak about it often. I was doing a presentation in Vancouver a number of years ago, and my Dell laptop, I probably shouldn't say which brand it was, but I've already said it, so it crashed half an hour before I was to speak, and the USB that my PowerPoint was on, which was my backup, corrupted, and it was it wasn't even a new USB. I had a few presentations on it. It wasn't old. I'd used it the night before in my hotel room. Everything was hunky-dory, but when Murphy rears his ugly head, it's frightening, and, you know, when you're getting paid to speak and they have high expectations and you've come all the way from Southern California to wherever you are, it's really nerve-wracking. So the thing that saved me was having my presentation in Dropbox. So if you have another, I always recommend three ways to access your presentation, your laptop, and you bring it to the presentation, the techs are going to use their own. You can give them your USB and then also Dropbox or something similar.
And I'm assuming, too, that testimonials are probably something that is part, you would put it on your speaker one sheet or you would put it onto your website. Do you have a strategy about asking for testimonials as a speaker so that you can use them to show a planner that you have the experience and you have a proven track record in speaking?
Usually when I'm dealing with the organizer, and it could be someone's assistant, I ask them in advance, and sometimes it's even in my agreement, that if they're happy with my presentation and they're happy with my performance, would they be willing to give me a testimony, and would they mind if I use their name and their company name? And sometimes there's restrictions around that. They may say, no, don't use our company name, so you have to say a biotech firm in Southern California, or you use their first name and their last initial, and sometimes they don't mind at all. And then I also make sure that I ask them again after the presentation. Sometimes it's at happy hour or when everybody's decompressing and the energy is still really high and I'm feeling good and I'm feeling on fire and satisfied and happy with the receive from my presentation. So that's also a good time. But absolutely, great question. You should definitely incorporate testimonies and incorporate several. And if you'd like to showcase different companies to show who you speak to normally and who your customers are, that's great as well.
Well, let's go into my favorite topic, the speaker website, because I have to deal with speaker websites on a regular basis. And I know that most speakers' websites have a page that has resources available to the planners. So when you're talking to them about their website and the assets on their website, what are some of the things that you like to see on a speaker's page that will help an event planner choose that speaker for their next event?
Well, there's usually an opportunity to showcase some media. So you can do this as a great opportunity for you to take your sizzle reel or segments of you presenting, maybe even a 1 or 2 minute vlog incorporated with a live presentation. It's great to edit that in. There should definitely be some comments from some exposure of you in the media, perhaps if you've been on television or have been quoted in an article somewhere, and some short video presentations that you've done. and with the audience as well.
Yeah, I would also throw in there that you need a couple of variety of images. So, for instance, high-resolution images, different poses. I always send people over to Cheryl Rausch's site when they want to look at what a great speaker page she's put together with the different assets of different photos of her holding the books that she's published, her speaking in front of venues, different marketing. She puts marketing suggestions up there for the event planners. But the websites really need to be robust on your speaker page because you want to make it as easy for the planner to be able to choose you to speak. So put your assets on the website. It's also a lot easier, especially if you're sending, like you said, video or your high-resolution images. And sometimes you can load up an email with those type of attachments. So having one convenient place for a meeting or event planner to come and view a speaker's website and have all those assets on one page is makes it a lot easier for the event planner. I know if I have to go running around chasing people for different assets, it's a kind of a time drag for me.
Great opportunity, and Cheryl has a wonderful website. I checked it out a couple of months ago. It's also a wonderful opportunity for your clients or the meeting planner to give live testimonials, and it can just be 20 or 30 seconds. It doesn't even have to be long, and that's golden. If you can, that's even more powerful than a written testimony from your client. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned that I don't see a lot of are the sizzle reels where there's an example of the speaker speaking in front of an audience. And I think that's a component that helps a planner to be able to ascertain whether this is going to be a good speaker for their event or not, whether their speaking style works for what the event planner envisions that event to be, or even just to see how they move on stage. But oftentimes I see that's a component that can be lacking on a website. And I know that you put together an event, the Speaker's Showcase, and that is specifically an event to help them get that sizzle reel. So let's talk about that a little bit. What do they need to think about when they're getting ready to put a sizzle reel together to attract that planner?
Well, let's, for those that may not know that term or may not have heard the term sizzle reel before, I think it's a very sexy term. I absolutely love it. It's also known as a demo reel or a show reel. It can be a PR video, and it's not just for speakers. I mean, it's a way for business owners to communicate B2B or B2C, to communicate a process and help them to convey updates or changes. It's also a way for people who have products to sell to promote it on their website. So it's their sales and marketing presentations. They can be pitches, and they're perfect for the website. It's a great way to get the word out about your business, your speaking engagements, your new messages, or to demonstrate what you can do in front of an audience. Now, Deb, one thing that Speakers Showcase has done, and you're my partner in that, and it's fantastic, is I saw that some presenters and some people who wish to expand their business and their marketing outreach by speaking didn't have themselves on their website speaking in front of a live audience. They were in a room with a videographer, and that's great. That's great for vlogging if you're in your office and do that. But to have an opportunity to speak in front of a live audience and put that up on your website is a great tool. So what we did is we created this opportunity for speakers to just speak for a very short time. Planners don't go through minutes and minutes of you online, or you presenting rather. They just want like a quick taste. So they probably don't even look at it for more than 2 minutes. So we came up with an opportunity for presenters, business owners, authors, coaches to be filmed in front of a live audience for up to 8 minutes. And that's plenty long enough because they'll have enough material there, maybe even for two little clips. And to present that on their website. So we actually ask all the presenters to stay for the whole event, so that they will be the audience for each other.
Yes, and just to go back for a moment on the sizzle reel, what are some of the things that planners like to see on a sizzle reel? If somebody were getting ready to put one of those together, whether they were looking at the speaker showcase or looking to do it maybe as part of their presentation, when you're looking at a sizzle reel, what do you think the components of that are that makes it a really outstanding video?
Well, if you're speaking about how the speaker is presenting, and I'm not really sure if I'm answering your question correctly, so stop me if I'm not, but it's the energy of the speaker, how the speaker engages the audience, how they're moving, how they're gesturing, how they're smiling, how comfortable they feel, and how is the audience responding to them? Because even though we tend to film the back of the audience or perhaps the side of the audience, you can still hear people laughing, you can still see them clapping, raising their hands, and responding and engaging to the speaker. So they definitely want to see how you're showing up, your personal presentation, how you look, and how you're engaging with your audience. Is that what you were getting at?
Yes. I was thinking, you know, some people might go and speak, like, for instance, in front of a SCORE presentation, and somebody will say, oh, I'll video you from the back of the room. That's not necessarily a video that you'd want to put together, because you want to coordinate it in a way. So I'm just thinking that sizzle reels are better done with a professional videographer who understands all that, because I can tell you from personal experience, editing video, tough. I edit video and I edit audio, and it's really hard sometimes to get that perfect combination. So what I see frequently on speaker sites are a video of them speaking in front of a networking group or something that somebody grabbed on their phone for them. And that's not necessarily the best representation of your presentation that you could make. So do you suggest, when you're talking to your clients about getting ready to do a video, that maybe they, how do you get them to plan for that? You know, you tell them that they've got 8 to 10 minutes. How do you work with your client to put that sizzle reel together before you get to the videographer and the event?
Well, you make a really good point. I mean, you don't want your sizzle reel to look like a film noir, you know, with like dark lighting and shadowy figures in the background. I mean, the lighting, the backdrop has to be perfect. And, you know, wear jewelry, first of all, wear jewelry that doesn't make a noise when you're moving or gesturing. Statement jewelry pieces are great for in-person presentations, but if you're doing something, say, in your office for video, you would dial back on that. Make sure that your colors are appropriate for, and your outfit is appropriate for your audience. And don't wear busy patterns or maybe black. I don't like that. The lighting has to be appropriate. You should do a sound check in advance. So there should be none of this, can you hear me now? Like that, was it, which commercial was it? I don't know if it was Verizon.
Oh, yes, Verizon,
and
I think.
Tapping on the microphone and things like that. Everything should definitely be very polished and very professional. Make sure that if there are steps leading up to the riser, that you don't leap up to the riser and as my mom would say, show your knickers, or have be in danger of showing your knickers. Just step up, you know, in a poised and measured, you know, but energetic way, for sure, and approach the stage in an energetic way. And do what you need to do mentally before you're on. So if, for example, on the people coming to Speakers Showcase, I suggest that they listen to songs as they're driving to the location, to the venue, that really lift them up, that give them energy, that make them feel good. And it could be whatever they like. Do affirmations and just visualize yourself showing up powerfully, energetically, engaging your audience, you know, and using humor appropriately and playing off the audience. And sometimes people will say something and you can play off that as well. So do all the things in advance that you need to do to mentally prepare yourself and to show up as powerfully as you can, because speakers don't realize how much power they have, that they really have the power to inspire people to change, to influence people, and to really make them aware of something that they never would have thought of on their own.
Yes, and then I think some of the smaller details of putting a video together so that planners can more easily choose you are some of the things that we don't necessarily think about ahead of time, and that have been discovered as we listen to videos or watch videos afterwards. And that's the handling of the microphone, the type of jewelry that you're wearing if you're a woman, especially earrings that may tinkle or clink while you're up there speaking. And then there has to be some way to affix, if you're going to do a good video, you want to affix a wireless mic or a wired mic to you. So you have to think about that, especially if you're going before your videographer and they may not have mentioned that, or if you're doing something like the speaker showcase, you might want to think about either a belt that you're wearing around a dress. We don't have too many problems with men because the men always have a belt or pockets to be able to put that battery pack for that microphone in. So those are some of the details that we don't always think about. You know, how is our hair doing? Is it going to be, you know, flopping around in some manner over the microphone? You know, I know we try to use those fuzzy balls to absorb the type sounds that we make. So are there anything that you would suggest when people, especially women, because I don't know that men have the same problems that we have with, especially with the jewelry we wear, is what I think is most distracting when we're doing our videos.
Well, in Speakers Showcase, we have a very quick turnaround between speakers. So we do ask them, the women, to wear jackets with pockets, or sometimes we can provide a handheld mic. And so we have those two options. If they want a handheld or if they want a clip-on, then, you know, if they want a clip-on and they're wearing a dress, we have to go underneath the back of their dress to affix the microphone. And that takes time between speakers. And sometimes there isn't always a place in the room where you can go and you can be, you know, be modest. But if you notice on the morning shows, for example, on Good Morning America and the Today Show, when the women wear dresses, they have really big microphone packs clipped on the back of their dresses. And that's fine because they're just the two of them and they're staying that way throughout the show. But when we're switching off between speakers and we only have a short period of time to make that transition, it does get a little dicey. So we do ask women to wear a pocket or a jacket, and sometimes they don't honor what we say. And then it's better really if they could just use the handheld. And some don't want to use the handheld because they're using something to advance the slides if they are doing a PowerPoint, so they don't want two things in their hands. And we certainly don't want them juggling and, you know, looking awkward if they have the mic in one hand and then the slide advancer in the other hand. So you have some good points.
I definitely don't use to or tend to use slide decks when I speak. I have used them on occasion, but I rather like storytelling more in my speaking presentations. I'm not so big on the PowerPoint presentations, but I know it's a great tool, and that's a good point when you're working on your video that you want your hands free, and you also want your hands free not only because you might be holding the clicker for the PowerPoint, but also for the gesture factor where you can, especially if you're a storyteller and you want to really get into the story, you want to be able to move people to action, and gestures are one of those ways, as well as a vocal variety and making sure that you pull down your voice to a softer to draw them in. And you want to use some of those basic tools to be able to have a really appealing presentation, and out of that get an appealing video for your website. So for the listeners who might be interested in knowing more about the Speakers Showcase, can you give a few details on that event?
Sure, be happy to. It's September 28th, which is a Thursday, and it's all day, so they need to show up a little bit before 9. We finish around 3 or 3:30. It's going to be held in Rancho Santa Fe. And the website, if they'd like to learn more and just see if it's a fit for them, is katherinelawrence.com/speakers-showcase. And that's two S's together, speakers, showcase. And Catherine is spelled with a C. Lawrence is spelled L-O-R-E-N-Z. I almost said Z. But it's katherinelawrence.com/speakers-showcase. September 28th, we have three packages suitable for everybody's budget, and it's a really great event. And it will provide people with the opportunity to present their message in front of a live audience, get that energy and that support that sets it apart from other opportunities for presenters with videos.
So in the realm of making it easy for planners to choose you, is there a question I should have asked you that I did not ask you?
I think if they just went down the list and did these things that we spoke about, the one sheets, the sizzle reels, the testimonies from clients, whether they're written or video preferred, and if they just went down this list of the things that we talk about, I don't think there's anything else that they should do. Just get out and speak and get your message out there. Get the experience.
Those are words
and
of wisdom.
Polished. Be polished.
Yes.
Be prepared.
Yes, yes. Well, Catherine, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be able to speak with me about what these assets are that these speakers need in order to get more speaking engagements. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on Speaking with Influence today.
I loved it. Thank you very much.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.